Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message comes to us from our epistle lesson in Hebrews chapter 4, and especially verses 9 and 10. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Thus far the text. My dear friends in Christ, members of a church in Seattle received the following announcement about a no excuse to stay home Sunday. According to the pastor, cots would be available for those who say Sunday is their only day to sleep in. Eye drops would be supplied for those who have red eyes from their Saturday night activities. There would be steel helmets provided for those who have always said, if I ever show up, the roof will cave in. Blankets will be given to those who say the church is too cold. Fans would be given to those who say the church is too hot. Scorecards would be passed out for those who wish to count the number of hypocrites present. TV dinners would be given to those who say I have to stay home to make Sunday dinner. Finally, the sanctuary would be decorated with both Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies so that everyone would feel in place. Guilt's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We use it well. And such an announcement really plays upon our guilt and on the idea that we should be in church. So you take away the excuses and you hammer it home. Go to church. You should be there. There can be no doubt about it. God commands it. We're supposed to go to church. He said it very plainly. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Unless we think that's an Old Testament command, something meant for everybody before Jesus, it's repeated in a different fashion in Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. It is God's desire and will that we be in church on Sunday morning. I know what you're thinking. Pastor, we're here. We know that. Aren't you preaching to the choir? And by the way, isn't that where that phrase came from? Yes. Telling people to go to church when, in fact, they are in church seems strange. I agree. So what I really would like to do with you this morning is two things. First, I want to reinforce the idea of why we come to church on Sunday morning. Why come on Sunday to this place every Sunday? I want to take church attendance out of the realm of a have to and put it in the place of a need to. Second, I want to equip us with an understanding that will allow us to take it to our brothers and sisters in Christ for whom Sunday morning maybe isn't a habit. Church attendance isn't something they normally do. What if we could replace in their minds the idea of guilt that comes around from them not being here with the idea of, boy, I really wish I was. We want to take church and make it a need to rather than a have to. So in order to do that, the first thing we have to do is to get past the idea that this is a have to. It isn't that God doesn't demand that we go to church or command us to meet together. He does. The third commandment makes it perfectly plain. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we should not despise preaching in his word, but gladly hear and learn it, and holding it sacred. The third commandment remains in full effect for you and I as well today. However, church attendance that is only a response to a command of God can become a burden and indeed something we despise. If you felt like, well, I go to church simply because I have to all the time, it becomes like something like taking out the garbage. You don't really want to do it, but you better do it or else it's going to begin to smell. It becomes a burden. If you only do it because you have to, rather than you want to or need to, then it's only guilt. Maybe what we need to do is to look past the commandment. Not ignore it, not set it aside, but get behind it. Find out the reasons for it. Why is it that God commands us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping holy? Why is it that God commands it and sets precedent for us by telling us on the seventh day he rested? You don't really believe he needed to, do you? You don't believe God needed a nap on the seventh day. He's God. His resting on the Sabbath day isn't out of need for God, but out of precedent for his people, that they should understand that this is what they are going to need. This is what they are going to need to do. So then the path towards understanding church as something we need rather than something we have to do really lies in how we view this place. So what I would like to do with you this morning is replace your have-to images with three other images that make this a place you desire to come and need to come to. And the first of those images is the one that comes right out of our epistle lesson for today. Church is a place of rest. Insert your appropriate sermon napping joke here. Church is a place of rest. People kid it about all the time. The best 20 minutes I get for sleep is Sunday morning. My home church, believe it or not, actually, when the pastor would enter the pulpit to preach the sermon, would dim the pew lights. And that was always, well, we want to focus upon the preaching. I always wondered as a kid, was it to focus on the pastor so we didn't see whose eyes were open or closed? My grandmother used to joke, you can almost hear people say to each other, good night, dear. Whatever the case. Church and worship should serve as a place of rest for us from our weekly journeys. All week long, we bear burdens of work, home, and family, and we carry them around, and they're burdensome on us. And their weight comes down upon us. Today, as we enter this place, this should be, as the writer of the Hebrews says, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. This is a place where those burdens can be laid down. This is a place where they need not be carried. This is a place where mind, heart, and soul can truly rest. When I was a kid, we had a cabin at Lake Leelanau, which is up near Traverse City, and I have to do the Michigan thing, right? We live down here. Lake Leelanau is up here, right? It's about a six-hour drive. There was a place about 3 hours into this drive, this small, little, out-of-the-way town, but they had an ice cream stand, and it was the best ice cream in the history of man, at least as a little kid I thought it was. Looking back on it now as an adult, I realize it was probably no different than any other ice cream anybody else received, but for me, in those moments, it was the best. Because of two things, it meant part of my journey was over, and there was a rest from being in the car. We had done 3 hours, and now we can sit and for half hour, 45 minutes, just sit and eat and rest. And it became a familiar place and a comfortable place. And we always took our ice cream and went around in the back of the shop. And there was this particular old wooden picnic table we would sit at where everybody had carved their initials over the year. And every year as we came to this picnic table, I would look to see if there were new carvings, new names, and see the old familiar things. It was a place of rest for us on our journey. So is the Sabbath. We've come and we've been journeying all week long carrying these burdens. And we come to this place and it is truly a place of rest. A place where things are familiar. A place where things are comfortable. A place where we do the same thing every week and we can count on it. We confess our sins. We speak the name of God in our creed. We pray together the Lord's Prayer and it happens each and every week. And it's familiar and it's comfortable and it is restful. Sunday service is changed from something I must do, I have to do to obey God, to something I come and I'm able to get from God and lay myself before God and receive from God. I'm able to rest. So the first image I'd like you to walk away with is that church is a place of rest, a Sabbath rest, using the words of Hebrews, for the people of God. The second image that I would like you to consider as you think about church is that of a hospital. We are a sick people. We're diseased with sin. We are in desperate need of a remedy that will heal us of sins, sicknesses, and wounds. We need medicine that will salve our guilty consciences from the sins we've committed, but we also need salve that will heal those wounds by sins committed against us. This place is that place. This place is a hospital of sin. A place where your God can come and apply to you the forgiveness, the salve won by Christ who died and rose. Here we receive forgiveness for our own sinfulness, for those things we wish we could take back, for those things we said that should never have been said, for those things done that should never have been done, for those things not done that should have been. Here we receive medicine for those things. But here we also receive medicine for wounds we've received, for things that have been done to us that should never have been done, for things that have been said to us that should never have been said, for things we expected from people that were left unfulfilled. Here we receive not only forgiveness, but a heart ready to forgive. Here we are healed. This is really a very different view of Sunday worship than is carried by most of popular Christianity in America. Most Christianity in America sees church as the place where we come to worship and to praise God and to feel good for doing so. It sees church as a place where we come to give to God that which God richly deserves, and he does, glorification and praise. But in fact, worship is the reverse action. Worship is the place we come to receive. Worship is the place where God speaks his word to us, where he administers his body and blood upon us for the forgiveness of our sins, where he claims his children in his waters. Worship is where God is acting. This is a hospital. This is a place of healing. This is a place where my sins can be washed away, taken away from me, where those wounds that have been committed against me can be bandaged up and taken care of, where my heart can now be made ready again to forgive those who aren't ready to be forgiven. This is a place for sick sinners. This beautiful sanctuary is a place where God is at work. He comes and applies to us and gives to us that which we need for salvation. He reminds us week in and week out through the sermon and the music and the liturgy, the story of how Jesus died and rose that we might be forgiven and have eternal life. We come into this place broken and wounded, sick with guilt for what we have done, wounded to the heart for what has been done to us. But here God heals. Here guilt is taken away. Here forgiveness is spoken and applied. Here God is at work. This is a place of healing. Finally, our third image of how we see this Sunday morning activity is that church is also a market. Here we pick up everything we need for the coming week ahead. If you're anything like me, you have certain stores you go to for certain things, either because they have the best products or because they have the best prices, or in my perfect world, they have both. You may have a particular pizza place you go to because they have the best dough, and nobody else in town quite makes it just like these people make it. It's the only place to go to get that thing. So it is with the church. Worship. This is the only place where you could be properly equipped for the things that you will deal with in the coming week. We come to this place like a market to pick up those things that we're going to need to deal with the things we're going to need to deal with in the coming week. My children are going to have issues and problems that I need to answer in the coming week, and this is the place where God has prepared me to be in my Christian vocation of father, where he has cleansed me for that purpose. I'm going to have coworkers who have struggles, who are not going to know where to turn, and this is the place where I come, this market, to pick up God's word and am able then to take it forward into the world and say to them, do you know that God says this to you? Do you know that there's a joy to be found in this? Do you know there's comfort to be found in this? This is a market. This is the place where we come to take those things we need for our journey ahead. We come and we pick it up. And we pick it up for ourselves. And we pick it up for our children. And we pick it up for our families. And we pick it up for those around us whom God would bring into our presence, that they might hear what we have just heard, that they might know what we now know. Church. It is a place of rest. It is a hospital for our sickness of sin, and it is a place where we can come and pick up that which we need for the week ahead. How much different do you think as you look around and you recognize those who aren't with us, how much different would their view of church be if they stepped beyond the commandment, behind the commandment, to the reason for it? To understanding this place as a place of rest, this place as a place where they could be healed, this place as a place where they can receive that which they need to live this life. You and I are commanded to worship. We are commanded to be in this place. But we come because of what God desires to give. Because He will forgive. He will give us rest. He will equip us for all that we need. To Him be the glory, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.